It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and happy Friday, everyone. I'm Bill Price. Calls for impeachment.
The public is now finding out that their governor is a fraud.
That is the big story this Friday. Things have gone from bad to worse for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo in the wake of the nursing home scandal that's gripped the country. State Republicans now forming an impeachment commission over Cuomo's COVID cover-up.
Andrew Cuomo is unfit to continue his service as governor of the state of New York. I and now many others have called for impeachment articles to be drafted.
New York State Republican Party Chairman Nick Langworthy says there's now a bipartisan push to remove the governor from office in the wake of the nursing home scandal. Western New York Democratic Assemblyman Patrick Burke.
I think for many of the Democratic state legislators, I think we feel blindsided and betrayed.
Burke says it's getting harder every day to support Andrew Cuomo after it was revealed by the governor's own secretary that the administration covered up the COVID-19 crisis in nursing homes across the state.
The governor withholding that information from us, I'm furious with him and his administration, and so are I think most of my colleagues.
Ultimately, and sadly, this administration, as far as I'm concerned, is all gut and brain and not much heart or ears.
Democratic State Senator Gustavo Rivera says the governor has stonewalled for months on the nursing home deaths to protect his own public persona. New York Republican Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis.
I don't see a situation where this doesn't end with his resignation or his prosecution or, at the very minimum, him being defeated at the ballot box next year.
New York State Assembly Minority Leader Will Barclay says there's more than enough evidence to start the impeachment process against Governor Cuomo.
It would be a bipartisan commission made up of 8 members, 4 Republican, 4 Democrats, to investigate if there were any crimes committed by the governor with his cover-up of the nursing home deaths in New York State. I think there's enough evidence to begin this process.
Meantime, State Democratic Assemblyman Ron Kim has doubled down on his claim that Governor Cuomo threatened him after he launched the investigation.
He continued to yell and let me know that I haven't seen his wrath and his anger, that he can go out tomorrow and start telling the world about how bad of a person I am.
That's classic Andrew Cuomo.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says bullying is how Cuomo operates.
A lot of people in New York State have received those phone calls. I believe Ron Kim, and it's very, very sad. No public servant, no person who's telling the truth should be treated that way.
14 state Democrats have now publicly come out in support of Assemblyman Kim. This week, the FBI and the Department of Justice announced they had launched investigations into the nursing home scandal in New York. Pete Hegseth with Fox News.
Sometimes you say the cover-up is worse than the crime. In this case, that's not true because the crime is killing thousands of seniors in nursing homes. But the cover-up has exposed the crime and how hard Cuomo and his staff worked to cover up these numbers.
State Republicans now have 2 months to gather evidence and submit their recommendations on whether or not to impeach Governor Cuomo. The measure will have to pass both houses of the Democrat-controlled state legislature in Albany. The impeachment process has begun. In Texas, it's survival mode.
All the power is out. People are just trying to stay warm.
I hope that from now on we have something in place so we don't have to go through it again.
The power slowly being restored in Texas following this week's brutal winter storm. Now it's the water that's the main concern. 13 million Texans do not have safe drinking water today as froze up pipes start to burst all across the Lone Star State.
It's been a little crazy. We've got a ton of dirty dishes piled up. It's been really hard with flushing toilets, obviously.
This woman and her kids had to move into a hotel after the water pipes burst in their house.
I mean, this is a nightmare. This is everyone's nightmare. Your home is your abode, is where you go to find your peace and work, and now I'm uprooted.
Compounding the pain, food shortages all across Texas. Big rigs have stopped delivering to supermarkets because they cannot find gas. Reporter Keenan Willard is in El Paso.
Truck drivers often stop 2 hours east of El Paso in Van Horn to fill up before heading for cities like Dallas and San Antonio. But truckers who tried that route this week haven't seen much success.
I see them leave, and about an hour and a half later, they turn around and come back, and they shut themselves down. Because once they get down the road, there's going to be no fuel availability.
Gas supplies dropping fast statewide. Trucking in Texas is at a standstill.
I'm sitting on a load right now that I've been sitting on for 6 days.
Keenan Willard reporting. Texas Senator Ted Cruz, meantime, facing backlash for traveling to Cancun during the power crisis. The Republican apologized for it and says he quickly realized he'd made a mistake.
Leaving when so many Texans were hurting didn't feel right, and so I changed my return flight and flew back on the first available flight I could take.
Over 40 deaths now being blamed all across the South from this week's major winter storm. The Trump-era Remain in Mexico policy officially came to an end today as thousands of migrants get set to cross the southern border. The first wave of some 25,000 asylum seekers who were forced to remain in Mexico under President Trump are now coming into the U.S. under President Biden. New Jersey Democrat Bob Menendez.
And doing Trump's damage and passing minor reforms is not enough. Our current system is riddled with inefficiencies and needless cruelties.
The Biden immigration plan also calls for an 8-year pathway to citizenship for the 11 million undocumented immigrants living in the U.S. Fox News reporter Griff Jenkins.
It gives an immediate green card for farm workers, TPS holders, and DACA recipients. It replaces the term alien with non-citizen, clears family backlogs, and stipulates no added enforcement mechanisms.
And the bill needs at least 10 Republicans in the Senate to pass, and so far, no member of the GOP is willing to cross the aisle and support it. Texas Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert says letting thousands of asylum seekers into the U.S. in the middle of a pandemic, probably not a good idea.
That are going to expose more Americans, that are going to get more Americans sick. So apparently his America first doesn't mean the United States first. It means other places in North and South America.
ICE, meantime, is issuing new guidelines that narrows the enforcement actions on arrests and removals. The Biden administration says officers now need approval from a supervisor before deporting someone who hasn't been convicted of an aggravated felony. That means an illegal immigrant caught drunk driving or assaulting someone cannot be deported.
The open border strategies and the message is if you get to our country, you're going to be released into the interior United States and you're going to be protected from lawful deportation.
That's former Customs and Border Patrol Commissioner Mark Morgan. President Biden wants to restart nuclear talks with Iran. Retired four-star General Jack Keane says the administration is in a position of strength to negotiate, thanks in large part to the previous one.
There are crippling sanctions on the Iranians that have got them back on their heels. They would have negotiated with the second Trump administration to remove those sanctions, and they would have had to make some significant concessions, or Trump would not have approved the deal.
General Keane says the hard work of stopping the Iranian nuclear threat has already been done thanks to former President Trump. He says President Biden needs to continue the policy for the sake of peace in the Middle East.
They've got the wind at their backs because the normalization of relationships with Israel and the building of a broad coalition, that convinced the Arabs and the Israelis that the administration had their backs. So they have a strong hand to play. Will they play it is really the issue in front of us.
Today, the U.S. officially rejoined the Paris Climate Agreement. Former President Trump pulled the U.S. out of that agreement that his predecessor, Barack Obama, initiated. President Biden making a snow-delayed trip to Pfizer's COVID manufacturing plant in Michigan today. Wicked winter weather this week has delayed vaccine distributions all across the country.
We're in a holding pattern until the weather up on the East Coast lightens up and vaccines can ship out.
That's Michelle Roberts with the Washington State Department of Health. In Florida, two women were charged with trespassing after disguising themselves as senior citizens in order to get the COVID-19 vaccine.
A couple of young ladies can dress up as grannies to get vaccinated for the second time.
Dr. Raul Pino is with the Orange County Health Department. Still to come this Friday, impeachment commission in New York, vaccine delay in PA, and cancel culture on Facebook.
Well, good afternoon to all the weekenders here. The weekend will bring lake snows and sunshine for our region.
I'll be back to spell things out in the forecast coming up. See you in about 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and PA. Friday, February 19th, Republicans forming an impeachment commission over New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's handling of the COVID-19 nursing home deaths. State GOP Chairman Nick Langworthy.
The reason that he didn't want it to come out in the open is it cuts against his narrative because he declared himself the hero of COVID-19.
There's a bipartisan push in Albany to strip the governor of his pandemic powers, but Republicans say that doesn't go far enough. They want Cuomo removed from office. Congressman Tom Reed.
We're going to use every tool at our disposal to make sure that the 15,000 deaths that occurred because of Governor Cuomo's death order in March 2020 is uncovered and that justice is done.
The impeachment commission comes a day after the FBI and Department of Justice announced they were investigating the governor after a top aide admitted to withholding death data on nursing homes.
If they falsified information, it's potentially a crime. If they simply withheld information and delayed turning it over, you may or may not have a crime there. So the only way to find out is to investigate.
That is legal analyst Cheryl Myers Booth. An Albany-based watchdog group now says Governor Cuomo's nursing home directive last spring likely responsible for more than 1,000 additional residential deaths during the pandemic. Those findings released today by the not-for-profit group Empire Center for Public Policy. A Rochester, New York doctor facing manslaughter charges after one of his patients overdosed on opioids. 55-year-old Dr. Sudipt Deshmukh accused of prescribing dangerous mixes of opioids that led to the death of at least one person. The indictment announced today by the state attorney general's office. Wicked winter weather this week delaying COVID vaccine distribution efforts in New York and PA.
We anticipated receiving 500 to 1,000 doses, but we only received 300 this week.
Chemung County, New York executive Chris Moss. Tammy Kobler from Pennsylvania says this week's winter storm forced her and her husband to cancel their appointment to get the shot.
Makes you doubt, and we don't want to doubt. You know, we want to control this thing and want to do our part, but it's hard when you have things changing like abruptly.
Pennsylvania continues to lag behind other states in administering the COVID-19 vaccine. Cancel culture continues on Facebook.
Yeah, the social media site says it will block what it calls misinformation regarding climate change. Facebook is going to flag posts that call into question the theory of global warming. Facebook will be relying on so-called experts from George Mason University, Yale, and Cambridge to identify and debunk what it calls climate change myths. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Six Flags Darien Lake in Western New York scheduled to reopen this May, and that amusement park needs your help. They're looking to fill 1,500 positions. That's a lot of jobs. Earlier this week, the governor announced amusement parks could reopen this spring in New York after being shut down for 1 year because of the pandemic. New details coming out about the first black hole ever discovered. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The extremely dense celestial phenomenon was discovered in the Milky Way in 1964. Now researchers in Australia, using data from radio telescopes, say it's much larger than expected and further away than previously thought. The black hole is 21 times the size of our sun, which is 50% more massive than originally believed, and about 6 trillion miles away from Earth. Brandon Dixon, Family Life. News.
Fascinating stuff. Thank you, Brandon. Let's pause for sports. Your two-minute drill.
The start at the Australian Open. The women's champion will be crowned tonight. Third-seeded Naomi Osaka of Japan will play 22nd-seeded American Jennifer Brady of Mechanicsburg, PA. The 25-year-old Brady competing in her first major final. Novak Djokovic won in straight sets to remain perfect in Aussie semis, improving to 9-0 all-time. Djokovic seeking his record 9th Aussie title and 18th major championship. He'll battle Daniil Medvedev for the trophy Sunday. Big news in the NFL, Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz traded to the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for a 2021 third-round pick and a conditional 2022 second-round pick that could turn into a first-round pick. ESPN's Adam Schefter.
The Colts wanted Carson Wentz to work with Frank Reich, their head coach, who was his former offensive coordinator in Philadelphia. Frank Reich is a Carson Wentz believer and the biggest proponent of this trade.
On the ice, the Capitals with a 3-1 win over the Sabres in D.C., Buffalo's fourth loss in a row. Sabres head coach Ralph Krueger.
It's a tough situation we're in right now. This is now psychology. This is now persistence and character that we need to have to stick with it.
The Penguins rolled past the Islanders 3-1 in Pittsburgh, behind Tristan Jarry turning away 31 shots for the Pens. Head coach Mike Sullivan.
Well, I thought Tristan was solid. You know, I think he's really making strides. He looks much more comfortable in the crease. You know, he's challenging the shooter. He's tracking the puck through traffic. His rebound control has been improved.
Elsewhere, New Jersey beat the Bruins 3-2 in Boston for their third straight win. In a shootout, the Rangers topped the Flyers 3-2. Maple Leafs pound the Senators 7-3. In the NBA, the Nets beat LeBron James and the Lakers 109-98 in L.A. LeBron joined Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Karl Malone as the only players to have scored 35,000 points in their career.
Me to be linked with some of the greats that ever played this game, it's always an honor. I've always just wanted to go out there and play the game the right way and just try to be as good as I could be every single night.
Elsewhere, the Raptors send the Bucks to their fifth straight loss with a 110-96 win. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Friday edition of the Noon Report, the boys are back. Capital Connection queued and ready to go. Plus, the rover has landed.
Whenever Christians have to say no to the culture, it's not because we want to say no. It's because there's a much bigger, better yes. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. In 2015, Drag Queen Story Hour launched in San Francisco. Exactly what it sounds like, men dressed as women, often provocatively, reading stories, often provocatively, to young kids in schools or public libraries. The organization now operates across the country. Dressing in drag almost always involves exaggerated makeup, exaggerated hair, and gaudy, sexually suggestive clothes. And one goal of Drag Queen Story Hour, according to its website, is to celebrate, quote, people who defy rigid gender restrictions. It's a strange claim for a group that relies so heavily on rigid gender restrictions. Instead of defying them, their performances clearly portray their small, shriveled imaginations of what it is to be a woman. In fact, the larger transgender movement also relies almost completely on this kind of stereotyping. The feminist movement spent decades trying to dismantle stereotypical tropes such as girls like pink and play with dolls and boys like sports and, I don't know, like red meat. And yet, here we are telling boys who like pink or girls who like baseball that they're born in the wrong bodies, based on no other evidence but these stereotypes. Christianity offers a far better message about who we are as male and female, and to effectively share it, we'll need a strategy that goes beyond merely protecting our religious liberties, as important as that is. At the same time, as more and more young people, especially middle school girls, suddenly claim to be the opposite gender, we have to do more than just say no to them. We have to elevate God's good design. We have to learn to articulate what it is to be a woman and not a man, or a man and not a woman. Now, unfortunately, though with many exceptions, the church hasn't always done a great job of this. In fact, the church often resorts to stereotypes too, though usually in a more positive direction and with better intentions. Still, in our zeal to resist harmful teachings on gender so prevalent in our culture for so long, we often fail to understand why God would make men and women and make them so different. Instead, we reduce the answers to these incredibly important questions to culturally contingent things such as gender roles, or even worse, gender-based restrictions, without any careful theological reflections on the intricacies and beauty of God's design for male and female. Now, this makes sense. After all, it's much easier to grasp a list than it is to grasp a sacred mystery. And the concept of roles isn't in and of itself a bad one. Roles are attempts to flesh out the implications of design within certain cultural context. Some roles will never change. For example, only women will ever be mothers. Only men will ever be fathers. Other roles, however, do change as cultural norms change. The biblical vision of male and female is beautiful. Men and women were made differently, but point to the same dynamic God. When God created both Adam and Eve, he said they were both created in his image and were very good. Our best expressions of our gender will be demonstrated not by conforming to stereotypes, but by being conformed to Christ in the unique ways that men and women are called to do so. Look, women can't be men. Men can't be women. This may not sound like good news to someone who suffers with gender dysphoria, but it is. That means maleness and femaleness are gifts, not constraints. And that's very good news in an increasingly gender-hostile world. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 minutes past the hour, the weekend is here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Our rather anemic weather maker continues to sputter along with a little light snow today, but in its wake, areas away from the lakes will be clearing out for a pretty bright weekend. However, that being said, lake snows will pile up several inches tonight through tomorrow night in the favored belt southeast of Lake Erie and Ontario. Here's the call for today. Through the afternoon hours, cloudy skies, intermittent light snow or flurries, fresh coating in spots, high temperatures near 30. Tonight and tomorrow, some heavier lake snows will deposit several inches in the snowbelt area southeast of Lake Erie and Ontario. Otherwise, variable cloudiness, a couple of flurries. Low tonight, teens in their 20, high tomorrow in the 20s. Be some sun in the mix tomorrow. And a good deal of sunshine Sunday after a morning lake flurry. And a sunny high temperature will be close to 30 degrees.
All right, Kevin Williams, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Jason, we've got to start with you. A lot going on when it comes to the New York nursing home scandal and how much of this will stick to the governor. How much trouble is he in today?
Well, what's troublesome for the governor is now there is not only the Department of Justice investigation, but the FBI is involved as well. And so subpoenas have been issued. They're looking at his top staff in that regard. And I would remind people, this is not the first time that a Cuomo administration official has been in trouble with the law. Some years ago, there was an administrative official who was basically selling access to the governor, and he's actually serving prison time as a result.
Yeah, and all of this has to do with that March directive to send into nursing homes COVID-positive patients and not hospitals. There's talk in Albany of maybe him being stripped of his pandemic powers next week. Do you think that'll happen?
It's going to be a tough call. In the Senate, they seem intent on moving the ability to take away the governor's pandemic powers. The Assembly has not yet committed to that. And what you may have is a little game going on where Senate Democrats will pass the bill because Senate Republicans are pressuring them to do so. In the Assembly, there are a lot of progressives that want to gain the upper hand in budget negotiations, and they may use this as leverage to say to the governor, either give us what we want or we're going to strip these powers.
All right, we could go on forever with this story, but let's go on to Harrisburg. And Michael, your senior U.S. senator made news last weekend when he was one of just seven Republicans to vote to convict former President Trump, and immediately a number of county GOP leaders voted to censure Senator Toomey. Do you think that was appropriate?
Well, looking at the counties where these GOP leaders did this are places that were very, very strong for President Trump. And so there's great dismay. I mean, I've driven, you know, across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania in recent days and seeing Trump signs still remaining all over the Commonwealth in those places. It's not a surprise that these Republican officials are basically saying, Senator Toomey, you didn't follow the will of the people that you're there in Washington to represent.
Well, I would be remiss. Both you guys are proud conservatives. You make no bones about it. The death of Rush Limbaugh kind of shocked us all. We knew it was coming, but none of us were prepared for that news this week. Jason, be curious your thoughts when you heard of the passing of this radio pioneer.
You know, when I first heard the news, I found myself wanting to tune in to what Rush had to say about it. You know, I mean, that's oftentimes what we do when we hear some news story, something happening in our country or in the conservative movement. We tune to the radio to see Rush's response to that. And this is the biggest story that we've not been able to tune into to hear what Rush has to say about it. Yeah. He just changed conservative politics. He just changed the country in so many ways. And if you were not even a listener of his, you don't realize that the entire movement has been been impacted by his actions, by his voice.
Yeah.
We did not used to have this, but yet we so take it for granted today that there is talk radio, that there is conservative politics across America.
Yeah, a lot of folks are talking today about what made Rush great. How did he make it work where others before him failed? Michael, what was the magic that he possessed?
Well, number one, doing radio and doing radio well is not something that anybody can just do. It's something that you practice and something you really work on. And he had many decades of honing his skill before he ever made it on the national scene. So that's number one, is he was very good at radio. But secondly, he had a love for this country. He had a love for our founding documents. He understood them very well. He was very well read. And so when you're looking at the filter to say, okay, this is today's news or this is today's politics, and then putting it on a grid of how does it line up with America's founding principles, and being able to convey that to a broad audience, that's what he was very good at. So a combination of radio skills, I think a good sense of humor, but also understanding the American experiment.
Well said, both of you. And you know, I'd love to get Rush's take on the cancel culture today. It's just everywhere. And I know we're going a little off script this week. Usually we focus on policy issues, but maybe wax a little nuanced here, Jason, and talk about how a Christian counters the cancel culture. Do we fight back? Do we double down, relent, and go along to get along? What's your advice to those listening today?
You know, as I think about that question, one of the things I have to remind people is to speak the truth in love, and you have to do both. Sometimes, and particularly in the social media amplification of that, we speak the truth maybe, but we don't always do it in love. The tone cannot always be right. Other times, there are people that just want to be all loving and all compassionate, but they're not speaking the truth. I'm currently reading a book called Live Not by Lies, and the idea behind it is that, you know what, I don't have to speak something that is not true. And so I have to figure out what are my negotiables and what are my non-negotiables. There are things that I can disagree with Christians on, disagree with the culture on, but there are other issues that are non-negotiables, and we have to note the difference and then speak the truth in love regarding those matters.
You know, I think of the French philosopher Voltaire, who said, I may disagree, and I'm paraphrasing here, Michael, I may disagree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. And I've always said, when it comes to the First Amendment, when we have issues that pertain to it, more speech is the answer, not less speech. But it does seem there is a real crackdown on free speech in this country, Michael. How do you counsel Christians to counter the cancel culture?
Well, I think much of what Jason said is what I would echo. You know, number one, speaking the truth in love, and understanding also that you don't have to comment on everything that's out there. Social media kind of invites us to say things about whatever and to sort of be play-by-play of what's going on in the culture. And that can be fun, but it doesn't necessarily add to things. So part of it is being circumspect about who are the people we have relationships with, how do we speak into their lives and to have an influence there. But I have met and know some good friends who have been canceled out of their professions. A physician that I know, because of social media posts his family had made, not able to get a job in the profession that he is so skilled at. And that's a tragedy when you see that happening.
Yeah. More to say on this on your websites. But before we go, a couple policy issues. Jason, the effort to legalize assisted suicide in New York revived again. Assemblywoman Amy Paulin has reintroduced her bill. Why do you think Christians should oppose assisted suicide?
For me, it's a pro-life issue. You know, we talk about the sanctity of human life, but we think of it as only a beginning of life issue. It's also an end of life issue. And so part of my opposition to assisted suicide is, yes, grounded in my faith. I believe that life is a gift from God and it should be protected at every stage of life. We have inherent dignity. We have intrinsic value because we are image bearers. And that should be defended, though not all people will agree with that fact. It is truth, and we should speak to it.
Yeah. We saw this week South Carolina pass the most pro-life law in the country, virtually banning all abortions. Governor McMaster has just signed that bill. Probably will be struck down in the courts. But, Michael, the pro-life issue in Pennsylvania doesn't get nearly enough attention. These do-it-yourself abortions, and I think it's so important that we focus on these chemical abortions and the complications that arise from them. The numbers have tripled in 2 years. What is driving this, Michael?
Well, part of what's driving it is groups like Planned Parenthood that see this as a real growth industry for them. You know, they're already in the business of killing babies, and they've just found this chemical way to do it. And then because of the pandemic and because of Governor Wolf's loose control over the abortion industry, they're doing telemed chemical abortions and prescribing these drugs that kill unborn children that then cause complications at home. You know, the woman is not at a place where they have medical care or medical oversight. And the chemicals are very damaging, very significant. So to see this happening is a tragedy and something that we're trying to bring attention to.
All right. About a minute to go, Jason. Where do things stand with the effort to decriminalize prostitution in New York?
Well, I would say thus far, I think we're doing okay on the issue. There have been so many other distracting matters right now that's kind of taken a little back burner over the last few weeks. It's probably something that's not going to happen this year, but it is one of those issues Christians are going to have to stay on top of, lest it become law here in the Empire State.
Yeah, and adult-use marijuana, the governor doubling down on that, Michael, in the middle of a pandemic. I know you're opposed to this. Where does that stand in Pennsylvania?
Well, our top two executive branch officials, our governor and lieutenant governor, are addicted to the idea of legalizing marijuana in our state. We don't think there's appetite in the legislative leadership for it, but they might try to use it as a bargaining chip in the budget time to try to fill the budget holes here in Pennsylvania.
All right, and just like that, our time is up, but if you've got questions about the great work going on at the Pennsylvania Family Institute, you can find out more where, Michael?
PAFamily.org.
And stay on top of the issues in New York as well. Jason, your website, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
All right, guys. Great show this week. As always, Capital Connection comes your way every Friday during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Our rather anemic weather maker continues to sputter along with a little light snow today, but in its wake, areas away from the lakes will be clearing out for a pretty bright weekend. However, that being said, lake snows will pile up several inches tonight through tomorrow night in the favored belt southeast of Lake Erie in Ontario. Here's the call for today. Through the afternoon hours, cloudy skies, intermittent light snow or flurries, and fresh coating in spots, high temperatures near 30. Tonight and tomorrow, some heavier lake snows will deposit several inches in the snowbelt area southeast of Lake Erie in Ontario. Otherwise, variable cloudiness, a couple of flurries. Low tonight, teens in their 20, high tomorrow in the 20s. Be some sun in the mix tomorrow. And a good deal of sunshine Sunday after a morning lake flurry. And a sunny high temperature will be close to 30 degrees.
All righty, Kevin Williams, have yourself a great weekend. Finally, this Friday, the rover has landed.
That's unconfirmed. Perseverance safely on the surface of Mars.
Today, the Mars rover Perseverance will start exploring the red planet. NASA's Thomas Zurbuchen.
There's a whole bucket of miracles you need to achieve to do that, and we're taking some miracles off the table, both today, but also as we go forward with Mars sample return.
Part of the mission to Mars will include flying a helicopter around the red planet. That should be neat to see. And for the first time ever, the rover will record sound from the Martian surface. Fascinating stuff. That's the world we live in this Friday. As always, thanks for joining us. Have yourself a great weekend. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.